my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of the Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary and I'm your Drive Time host this fantastic Monday afternoon. It's so good to be able to join with you at your place or if you're in your car on this absolutely beautiful autumn day. Now, of course, right here in Adelaide at the present time, it is actually a public holiday. This is the Adelaide Cup, a long weekend. I know the rest of Oz, you're not on holidays. You're out there at the Millstone. But right here in Adelaide, we've certainly got the Adelaide Cup, a long weekend, which means a number of our people have actually run away from us for today's show. Now, normally, of course, Monday would be my good friends, Pastor Will and Pastor Brenton, but today is their turn to actually have the public holiday off, and it's my turn to actually come and share with you on this public holiday. And folks, I am so pleased to be able to do this because today we have got one absolute ripper of a subject this week. Now, of course, on Monday, we do actually introduce the brand new topic for the week, and each day we do actually look at different aspects of that particular theme. Now, our theme this week, war, America, and chaos in the Middle East. Now, this is one theme every news media has picked it up. But we want to ask, are there end time significance to America, Israel, and the Iranian conflict? Is there any biblical significance to this conflict? You know, I'm so conscious that as I read the religious news media, I'm actually finding so many people commentating on this particular issue from a religious perspective. So I thought this week, hey, this is really worth us to actually dig into this particular subject. We're not going to be looking at the way the secular news media does. We're not too much interested, although it's important what is actually going on over there. But what we want to look at is there any religious significance to this war in the Middle East? Now, in order to help us out with our discussion today, my co-host is Pastor Jeff Yulden. Now, Jeff is a long-term Bible teacher and church evangelist. Now, welcome to you, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Gary. It's good to be here.
It is so good to have you here in the studio, and thank you so much for sacrificing your holiday.
Well, nothing's a sacrifice when we do it for the Lord.
So, indeed. So the next holiday, I'll see if I can get you once again. Yeah. No, look, it is fantastic to have Jeff. Really appreciate his teaching skills. Really appreciate his lifetime of ministry. He has spent so much time, particularly with electronic media. I think you're going to really enjoy what Jeff has to share today. But of course, before we start our day, let's come to our World Watch. Now, our World Watch today is actually very closely related to our theme for the week. And this is actually an article, one of those many articles that I said had been shared in the religious media. And this one is a couple of weeks old now because it talks about Operation Rising Lion. But I'd just like to share it with you because I think, Jeff, I'd really appreciate your feedback on this particular article. It's entitled "Rising Lion and the Hand of God: Is Prophecy driving the war with Iran. Now, when I first saw that article, it sort of jumped out at me. It was something that said, hey, read me. And I'm so glad that I did, because there was so much in this, and yet there were some things in it that I suppose I personally did struggle with. But we'll come to that in a moment. But this is what the article actually said. I want to just say we love you, God, and we love our great military. Protect them. God bless the Middle East. God bless Israel, and God bless America. And then the next line is, who said that? These were the closing words of the US President Donald Trump's address on Saturday night. This was when Operation Rising Lion, this is when this whole thing did actually start, when Israel initially bombed Iran. Those were the closing words of US President Donald Trump's address on Saturday night, following a military strike that brought the United States directly into Israel's war against Iran. Many supporters described the conflict as a battle between good and evil. President Trump's decision was foreshadowed days earlier when U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee sent him a message later published on Truth Social and shared by the White House, urging the president to listen to the heavens when deciding how to proceed with Israel's war on Iran. Huckabee is an evangelical Christian. He emphasized that he was not trying to pressure the president, but to encourage him. He wrote, God saved you in Butler, Pennsylvania, to be the most consequential president in a century, perhaps ever. He added, there has never been a president in my lifetime like you, not since Truman in 1945. The ambassador also urged President Trump to listen to his voice, apparently referring to God, and said the president would hear from heaven on the issue. Some observers believe the letter was publicized to reassure the evangelical base that helped elect President Trump, framing any decision to strike not as an act of aggression, but as one inspired by divine purpose. From the beginning, Israel's campaign against Iran has been steeped in biblical imagery, something evangelical Christians and religious Jews alike immediately recognize in the war's original name, Operation Rising Lion. Israeli leaders appear to be leaning into that interpretation. On Thursday, June 12, before Israel's first strike, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited the Western Wall in Jerusalem, where he placed a handwritten note between the ancient stones. In hindsight, it hinted at the strikes that would soon follow. The message, released by his office a week ago, said, the people shall rise up like a lion. The same verse inspired the name of Israel's operation, Rising Lion. It comes from Numbers 23:24 in the Torah. Behold, a people shall rise up as a great lion and lift himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eats his prey and drinks the blood of the slain. As Israel dismantles large parts of Israel's nuclear program and military leadership, this is, of course, after that that first attack, some evangelical Christians, those who interpret the Old and New Testament as relevant to current events, believe prophecy may be unfolding before the world's eyes. Does this attack align with Bible prophecy? Laurie asks. According to the megachurch pastor, the answer is yes and no. Laurie wrote that the Bible foretold the scattering of the Jewish people around the world and their eventual regathering, something evangelicals believe was fulfilled with the founding of the State of Israel in 1948 and the reunification of Jerusalem in 1967. Do you know, Jeff, as I read this this particular article, a number of things started to actually bounce out at me. You know, I'm just I suppose, so many questions. But look, to me, this is a really remarkable article. It's referring to Operation Rising Lion. That's the operation that preceded Epic Fury, which is the one we're seeing at the present time. But look, if I can just ask you, from a scriptural perspective, do you believe that this new Middle East conflict, you know, it's part of an age-old conflict, has any relevance at all to biblical teaching?
Well, the answer to that, I think, is yes and no.
Okay.
I think we've got to be very, very careful, Gary, in interpreting the Bible in light of what's going on in the world today, because if you don't have any very clear understanding of what the Bible says and how it's to be interpreted, then you can end up in Queer Street. I mean, you can you can have all sorts of fanciful ideas, and those fanciful ideas, by the way, have been generated down through the years. I mean, in the Second World War, Japan was the bogeyman, and Hitler, of course, and they saw the rising sun, as mentioned in the Bible. That's Japan, and so forth.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the way we are to study the Bible at all. The Bible gives us very, very clear ways to interpret, and they're not my subjective ideas.
Okay, so how am I? I mean, what is the best way to actually interpret the Bible? I mean, are there some principles that we can, rely on?
I believe there are very, very clear principles. The first principle is that the Bible interprets itself. In other words, one of the reasons we've got so many denominations in the world today is simply because people put their own interpretation upon the Bible.
Okay.
And it reminds me, when we talk about our own interpretation, if you go over to 1 Peter, and Peter, of course, spent time with Jesus, and in 2 Peter, it is chapter 1 and verse 20, he says this: "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation."
Okay.
Now, the Bible expressly forbids us to interpret the Bible in our own private way by just reading into it something that has nothing to do with what's going on today.
This is really important, I think, Jeff, because I'm just so conscious that I look at, well, particularly, you know, the YouTube clips. You know, you get a multitude of people. You get, you know, every time there's something sensational in the world, what tends to happen is there's a mad rush to the YouTube clips in order to almost find out who can be the most sensational in their interpretation of the most recent event.
Yeah, and that's a travesty of the Bible. No wonder many people are turned away from Christianity with that type of interpretation. I mean, where do you finish? It's just my idea against your idea.
Yeah.
And the Bible forbids that. That's the very thing that Peter's saying here. No scripture is of any private interpretation. The only basis that I can have when it comes to interpreting the Bible is to allow the Bible to explain itself.
Okay.
And if we were to follow and allow the rest of the Bible to explain verses that, like this matter of Balaam. Now, we've got to take the context into account for a start. And the context there was Balaam was a prophet
of God. Balaam, I don't...
Yes, he was a prophet of God.
Okay, yes, yeah.
Wasn't always a good prophet of God.
Yeah, yeah.
But finally, Balak, who was the king of one of the nations opposing God.
Yeah.
Moab. And, yes, and so... Balak, this is, often get these names mixed up. Balak, King Balak of Moab, he offered Balaam some money.
Yeah.
And he said, "If you will curse Israel, then I'll give you all this money." Now, Balaam was, of course, tempted to take the money and to get up there and curse Israel. But the trouble is, when he got up to curse Israel, he can only bless them. Yeah. And Balak got very upset about it. He said, I'm paying you a lot of money to curse, and here you are blessing them.
So
once again, this matter of the lion that's mentioned here that Netanyahu and others have cottoned onto was given in a special context.
Okay.
This is
Operation Rising Lion, and of course that was the text that Netanyahu put into the Western Wall, which is where this name actually apparently did actually come from. And you're saying, hey, it's really being ripped out of context.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with what's going on in the world today. I mean, it had a significance in relationship to what was going on in the time of the prophet Balaam's time.
Okay.
But it has no connection with what's going on today.
Okay.
And how do I know that? Because as I read the rest of the Bible through, I do not find one reference to this rising lion anywhere in the rest of the Bible.
Okay. You know, Jeff, what you're actually saying here, I think, is just so important because, you know, it sort of explains to me why, for example, in Matthew chapter 24, Christ actually starts his sermon to his disciples there by saying, take heed that nobody deceives you. And, of course, in Luke's record of exactly the same sermon, we find him starting with precisely the same injunction, be careful that no one deceives you, because certainly in both those records of that sermon, Christ is emphatic that the time is going to come, and particularly he's talking the end times, when deception is going to be rife.
Correct. And it is absolutely rife through Christianity today.
Yeah.
With, as you mentioned on YouTube and so forth, people getting up and saying all outlandish things.
Yeah.
This is why Christianity is so fractured.
Yes.
And we have so many denominations.
Yes.
The Bible says the Bible is its own interpreter. We don't have to go to a minister or a church or an organization to be able to get an interpretation of the Bible. We go to the Bible itself.
Allow the Bible to actually interpret itself. Now, this is actually really important because after the break, we've got to come to a break just now, but just after the break, I want to bring to you, there's an interpretation that certainly has been quoted a number of times in that first article that certainly has been picked up by a lot of our evangelical friends and is being quoted repetitiously if you look at the articles that are online. And I just want to put that to you and just simply get your feedback on that particular interpretation. But look, Jeff, we do need to come to a break. Let's go to that break. Once we come back, we'll pick up this other question. This is Guy Penrod, and he's singing Then Came the Morning. Please enjoy this beautiful hymn of faith.
They all walked away, nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd seen. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail. How could a night be so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day. Away, hope rose. from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true, she'd watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again.
That, of course, was Guy Penrod, and he was singing Then Came the Morning. And indeed, folks, that's exactly what we're looking for at the present time. The world is going through some real pain at the present time, and how much the Word of God constantly points us to the morning that is, that will. That will come. Now, folks, look, we have a really beaut giveaway, a book for you this week. And this book is entitled The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast. Now, this is on biblical prophecy written by Pastor Steve Wahlberg. You'll love this particular book. Steve has written this book. It digs into the book of Revelation. It talks about a woman in the book of Revelation that is impure woman. It's guilty of the blood of saints. The bloody woman and the seven-headed beast. She's actually riding a beast. Who is the woman and who is the beast that she's riding? And now look, folks, if you are a little bit interested in biblical prophecy, this is a book that you must get. It's not long, it's not hard, it's not difficult to read. This is a book that you can read just in an hour or two on your way to work. You'll love this little book by Steve Wahlberg, The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast. And if you would like that book, all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 04-888-808-11. 04-888-808-11. And in your text, all you need to do is to put five digits. That's SA for South Australia, 407. SA 407, but no gap between the SA and the 407. If you put a gap there, our robot is one of those little cheapo robots. He's not an expensive robot. Our robot doesn't get a clue what you're actually talking about. So no gap between the SA and the 407. SA 407 is the essential code. Put that in your text. Send that to 04888 80811, and we'll send you this this book. It is one of the most intriguing prophecies in all of the book of Revelation. You will love this book. I'd encourage you to request it. You are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary. Co-hosting our discussion today is Pastor Jeff Yulden, and our theme this week is War, America, and Chaos in the Middle East, once again. And today, our question for today, the question we're asking, the question we're discussing, is there end time significance to the America-Israel-Iran conflict, that conflict that's going on just as we speak? Is there any end time significance to it? Now, Jeff, I mentioned earlier that the religious press is literally alive with discussing this subject. Now, I shared just briefly one article that I pulled out, but there is another one that actually refers to the current conflict, and this one concerns the conflict and some of the religious overtones on this particular conflict. Look, let me just share it with you because it's entitled, it comes from the Ron Paul Institute, and this is an independent institute come think tank. It's entitled U.S. Military Leaders Tell Troops Trump is Waging Iran War to Bring Forth the Second Coming of Jesus Christ. Now, once again, when I read this article, it just jumped out at me. I thought, hey, I've just got to pick up on this one. U.S. military leaders tell troops Trump is waging Iran war to bring forth the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in view of what you've just said about how we actually interpret the Bible, I'd be very interested because this gives one particular example that I think I really would like us to dig into. As the Trump administration continues to grapple with the fallout from its betrayal of its core campaign promise to abandon the cycle of endless wars in the Middle East that have marred U.S. history since the dawn of the new millennium, the American public isn't the only target of the barrage of propaganda it has unleashed in a hapless attempt to save face. You can tell which direction this particular organization comes from. The administration has undertaken the same tactics with the hopes of brainwashing its military in order to support, in order to build support for Trump's war in Iran. According to the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, a non-profit civil rights watchdog aimed at protecting the religious liberties of enlisted personnel, U.S. military commanders have been accused of telling troops that Trump's war in Iran is designed to be the apocalyptic catalyst that brings forth the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, when I read this, I thought, goodness me. According to this organization, it has received over 100 complaints from troops across 40 different units spanning 30 different military sites making this accusation. One complaint from a non-commissioned officer filed with this organization, the independent organization, distilled the nature of these allegations by detailing how their combat unit commander claimed that Trump has been anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon and to mark his return to Earth. The complaint goes on to read that he, the commander, urged us to tell our troops that this was all part of God's divine plan. And he specifically referenced numerous citations out of the book of Revelation referring to Armageddon and the imminent return of Jesus Christ. When confronted with the volume of complaints filed with this organization, by military personnel, White House official denied the accusation that commanders were invoking any end-time prophecies to cultivate support for Operation Epic Fury. Despite the rejection of the accusations, Despite the rejection of the accusations, the complaints filed with the independent organisation tend to serve as a statement to their veracity. The president of our independent organisation, a former officer in the US Air Force, stated that all 110 complaints his organisation had received echo the same narrative justifying the war with Iran as being biblically sanctioned. The eschatological narrative US commanders are accused of conditioning troops with in complaints made follow a troubling tone instilled by senior officials in the Department of Defense. Christian leaders aligned with the Trump administration have also amplified that message that war with Iran is a sign of this coming apocalypse in an effort to cultivate support for the conflict. Texas megachurch pastor John Hagee, a frequent visitor of the White House during the first Trump administration, spoke to his congregation the day following the onset of Operation Epic Fury. He said, "The events unfolding right now are fulfilling prophecy." Paula White, a televangelist and spiritual advisor to President Trump, assumed a position established by his administration as the senior advisor to the White House Faith Office in February 7th, 2025. Since being reintegrated into the second Trump administration, White has come under public scrutiny for the way for her radical evangelical messaging, which calls upon Christians to stand with Israel. Now, that's the point of this entire article. Now, Jeff, I'm just so conscious that I suppose many of President Trump's voter base are in fact evangelical Christians. Now, of course, this section of Christianity believes that in 1948 was really significant because Israel was restored. They believe that at some time in the future the temple will be rebuilt, that the sacrificial system will be recommenced, and the Jews are going to work for the conversion of the world. Now, that's all part of evangelical theology. Now, how would you respond to that? Or is this setting the world up? Is this belief some grand deception?
Well, Gary, first of all, let me say this, that Donald Trump is a man who makes extravagant statements beginning to end.
Yes, yes.
And there's nothing that's more calculated to get Christians on side than to believe that you are God's agent in order to bring the second coming of Christ. I mean, it is almost preposterous to think that a human being would claim that. Mm. And yet he obviously is. But the reason why evangelical Christian accepts that is because they have already believed that Israel today is going to convert the world. Now, once again, a little bit of knowledge of Israel. I mean, I've been to Israel many, many times.
Yeah, yeah.
The vast majority, and I'm talking
very secular
90%
people.
Plus, mm-hmm. have no biblical interest whatsoever.
They are
what we call today Zionists.
Yes.
They are political people.
Yes, yes.
And Mr. Netanyahu is the head of that political movement at the moment.
Yeah.
And so we've got to understand that beyond the Christian terminologies that are being used here, there is a political agenda.
Okay.
And the political agenda that Mr. Trump is facing at the moment is the midterm elections coming
up.
Yes.
So in other words, he's got the midterm elections coming up. His voter base is actually a lot of them evangelical Christian. It's a huge voter base for him. Yes. So in other words, what we could possibly suggest here is, well, this is something that could well appeal to the beliefs of the evangelical Christians, because they believe, because evangelical Christians for years have believed that Israel is going to somehow convert the world.
Yes, I mean, all of us have watched some of the things that Donald Trump has done in the past and continues to do. I doubt whether too many of us would really think that Donald Trump was a very spiritually minded person. He is using Christianity to aid his re-election. That's the bottom line. The idea that he's being anointed by God to bring the second coming of Christ is really, I think, just going far, far too far.
But Jeff, look, can we possibly just come to this question, because I'm really important. I mean, how would you respond to a person that that actually said, look, you know, I mean, I, you know, the Old Testament particularly on a number of occasions appears to support this view that, Israel is going to be restored around the end times. I mean, that is I've spoken to many people that have suggested that, look, you know, the Old Testament points this out, you know. How would you respond to that?
Well, it doesn't.
Okay.
I say categorically, I would like any person, any listener or anyone to show me a text in the New Testament that says that Israel is going to convert the world.
Mm-hmm.
Or that they are going to be the instrument that God uses, that is the literal Israel, the physical Israel in the Middle East today, that they are going to lead the world into conversion. They don't even believe in conversion themselves. They rejected Christ, and they still do.
Yeah.
So the idea, when you think about it, that nation of Israel is going to do it and is about to do it, as we're being told by many evangelical Christians, is so far away from reality that any person who knows much about would really laugh at the idea.
You know, Jeff, I really appreciate what it is that you're actually saying here, but one of the things that I'm conscious of is that sometimes we do actually miss, I suppose, the New Testament definition of an Israelite or a Jew. Now, how does the New Testament actually define what is a Israelite or what is a Jew? Is it a person that, you know, because I've got the right genes, I'm a Jew, or is it something else?
It's something else very much important that we all understand that. Glad you raised it. The word Israel was given when Jacob, God changed his name.
Right.
And his name was changed from Jacob to Israel.
Okay.
And Israel means a God-rule man or a God-rule woman.
Okay.
And those who are of Israel today, as Paul points out in the book of Romans, the 9th to the 11th chapters, makes it very clear that not all of Israel, he says, are of Israel, but only those who understand and love the Lord, who are a God-rule person. Now, once again, we come back to the fact that in Israel today, as we've just said, the large, vast, vast majority of folk are not God-ruled. They don't believe in it.
Yeah. Well, I've certainly had the privilege of going across to Israel as well, and certainly visiting quite a number of very historical sites there. But I'd agree with you totally there. I mean, we are dealing with an incredibly secular society. This is not a society that's going to be equipped to actually be able to convert the world. But, you know, I love what, you know, Galatians chapter 3 actually says. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, of course. This is, and he shares in this way. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. To me, as I read certainly Galatians, then you come into the book of Romans, what I, to me, what seems to be incredibly apparent is that those who are regarded in the New Testament as being spiritual Jews are actually those who are of faith. Correct. I mean, is that reasonable?
Absolutely it is. And that's exactly what the Bible, New Testament, teaches. And because the Bible says it is neither Jew nor Greek, male or female.
Okay.
Bond or slave, the Bible says we're all one in Christ. In other words, the true Israel today is not those who are over in the state of Israel. That could include some who love the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The Jews can be saved the same as anybody else.
Yes.
But they have got to be saved through Jesus, because there's only one name under heaven whereby a person can be saved. And that is through the name of Jesus. But as we all know, the Jews refuse to accept Jesus today.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Jeff, and I'm going to come to this after our break, but the really unfortunate thing to me is that many contemporary books on prophecy believe that spiritually there's some sort of artificial distinction between Jew and Gentile today. Whereas to me, as I read the New Testament, I turn around and say, you know, hey, the New Testament seems to be abundantly clear that in Christ, Jew and Gentile have actually been brought together.
We are one in Christ.
One in Christ. Under faith. You know, faith actually brings us together. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, according to the Apostle Paul. You know, to me, this is so important. And yet, so many contemporary books on prophecy are actually recreating the distinction between Jew and Gentile. A secular nation is somehow going to be able to turn around and convert the entire world, and a huge portion of scripture of Christianity is running after this. And I look at this and say, hey, I think we've got a an incredible deception that we are actually looking at in this entire picture. But Jeff, look, let's come to some music. This is The Day Approaches, and this is a beautiful hymn, and indeed that's exactly what it is doing. The day is approaching. Please enjoy this wonderful hymn of faith.
With him, oh, let us. us from our soulish pleasures to gaze upon thy tender loving face.
Oh, keep us running forth to meet the bridegroom and patiently attending to the race. When Jesus comes, will we be in his presence? When Jesus comes,
beautiful, beautiful hymn as the day approaches. And indeed, that is exactly what we believe. If you believe the day that Jesus Christ is going to come is approaching, then you're on the right station, because that's exactly what we believe as well. Now, folks, we do have a really beautiful giveaway, a book for you this week. This one is only a short book. This is not a difficult book to read. It talks about the woman in Revelation 17 and 18. Who is that woman? And did you know that within the scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, the woman actually represents the church? That's just touches on what this book is actually going to present. What does this prophecy actually say about the contemporary church? This is the book that you need to actually have a look at, because it will challenge your thinking. It's entitled The Bloody Woman and the Seven-Headed Beast, and it's by Steve Wahlberg. Now, look, folks, if you would like your own copy of this particular book, all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 04-888-0811, 04-888-0811, and in there all you need to do is to put the code, and the code is SA for South Australia 407, SA 407, and text that to 04-888-0811, and that'll go through to our robot. Now, robot will come back to you, ask you just a few questions so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. I believe you'll really appreciate this this book. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary, and co-hosting our discussion today is Pastor Jeff Yulden, and our theme this week, War, America, and Chaos in the Middle East. And today we've simply been asking, is there end time significance to America-Israel-Iranian conflict? Now, Jeff, if I can just sort of, we've got about 8 or 10 minutes before we're at the top of the hour and we're going to have to conclude. If I can just, I suppose, ask you two questions. Well, let me just ask you one to start with, and that's this this question of Israel. Did Jesus have anything to say on this particular subject?
He had a lot to say, Gary, and I'm afraid that many Christians haven't read what he said. Let me just give you an example. This is Matthew, the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter, and I'm going to read verse 42 and 43. Listen to this. Jesus said to them, that's to the Jews and leadership there, have you never read in the scriptures? Now, this is the point that we were making before. Remember, the Bible interprets itself.
Christ is doing it himself.
Christ is, that's where we get it from.
Yep.
Jesus taught the scriptures, interpret the scriptures.
Yes.
This is what he then said. The stone, and he's quoting, of course, the Old Testament. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
Uh-huh.
This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Then he said, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whom it falls, it will grind him to powder.
Mm.
Now, notice the next verse, verse 45. Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. So there was no question about it.
Yeah.
They understood that he was applying this to the nation of Israel,
okay.
Them.
Yes.
But when they sought to lay hands on him, then they feared the multitude. Because he was very popular with the people. So Jesus himself taught that the blessings that God originally gave to the nation of Israel all through the Old Testament, now finally when they were going to crucify Jesus, that was the unpardonable sin.
Okay.
And God was, Jesus was saying, it's going to be taken from you and it's going to be given to a nation that bears the fruitage.
Mm-hmm.
And he then went on to say in Matthew 23, yes, and this time, where is it there in verse 37? And this is where he pleads. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left unto you desolate. Now, I don't understand how words could be any clearer than what Jesus is saying. Your house, that is the house of literal Israel, is left desolate.
Okay.
And he said, I've pled with you like a mother hen. I would have gathered you, but you would not.
Okay.
And Jesus himself clearly taught that there was going to come a change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why through the rest of the New Testament, Paul's writings that we have read a little of, and Romans chapter 10 to and 9, 10 and 11, Galatians 3, where it teaches that if you are Christ's, then you're Abraham's
seed. Yes,
in other words, it's not a race now, it's by grace that we're saved.
It's not genes that is going to save me, because that would be the works of the flesh.
Correct.
But rather, it is by faith in Jesus Christ.
Correct.
By receiving God's grace through faith,
yes,
a person is saved.
In other words, today, the nation of Israel is no longer God's special people. Now, that doesn't mean to say that a Jew can't be saved. Of course they can.
Yes.
They can be saved exactly the same way as a Gentile can.
Yes.
But as a nation, they are no longer God's people. That's what Jesus taught.
Yes.
That's what the New Testament teaches. And that's very, very different to what we are facing today with this theory, which I'm afraid
this is actually so important because, you know, as I actually certainly have read through a lot of the Christian websites that are out there, you're constantly getting this connection between, hey, what is actually occurring at the present time? Israel was restored back there in 1948. It's continuing to grow. It's getting bigger. It's multiplying. And ultimately, it's going to be in a position to convert the entire world. And of course, that belief, as I look at it and I read the New Testament, I say, no. I think your emphasis is actually in the wrong spot. That's not where, to me, the prophetic emphasis actually needs to be.
No, it's not. And today, every person has an opportunity of being God's Israel. Remember, the word Israel means a God-ruled man or woman.
Okay.
And any person, whether Jew, Gentile, Calathumpian, whatever they are, by God's grace, through Jesus, can be part of God's Israel today.
That's powerful. That is really powerful. Jeff, really appreciate that. We have come to the very top of the hour. But folks, look, I just encourage you tomorrow. And you know, so much is happening over there in the Middle East. One of the questions we actually want to ask tomorrow is the entire question concerning America. Is there any prophetic significance to what America is doing right now? Does it appear in biblical prophecy at all? We're going to dig into that subject tomorrow. You will really love that particular subject. Jeff, look, I'm just wondering, just as we conclude, would you like to just pray for maybe any of our listeners who may be, struggling with the Word of God right now?
Dear Lord, I just ask today in the quietness of this hour, wherever we are, that your Holy Spirit will come into the hearts of every listener. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I want to thank you for his death on the cross, and I want to thank you that whoever we are, whatever we have done, we can come to Jesus just as we are. And then Jesus will change our life, and we become part of God's Israel today. Please bless every listener, Lord. Some may be struggling with difficulties in their home, but I pray for them. Give them strength and courage because Jesus is coming soon and we need to be ready for when he comes. Bless us to this end with every listener, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, my friends, it does look like our time's up for today. Thank you so much for joining Pastor Gary and Pastor Jeff Yulden on Drive Time Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when Pastor Marty and Pastor Justin will be asking, is America pictured in Bible prophecy? This is a must hear. You will love what Marty and Justin have to share tomorrow. Really look forward to joining with you again. But until then, please remember, Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.